This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Joy Powers. In honor of Black History Month, we're continuing our Black Women First series, highlighting Black women in Wisconsin who are the first to hold their titles in their industries. Today, we meet Shantae Parker, a student at Marquette University's School of Dentistry. Parker was born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia, and completed her undergraduate degree at the University of Miami before coming to Milwaukee for dental school. She says the Marquette Dental School's reputation is really what brought her here. Parker is the first Black woman to be class president in the dental school's history, representing second-year students. She spoke with WUWM's race and ethnicity reporter, Taryn Powell. And she starts by describing her reaction to finding out she was the first Black woman to hold the position.
Honestly, it was crazy. I would have never thought that that was me. When I ran for the position, I didn't have any knowledge of there ever not being a Black person in the position. I just assumed that, you know, I'm from Atlanta. I went to school down in Miami. Those type of positions, seeing Black people do well, is not uncommon to me. And so, honestly, when I got to Milwaukee, it was actually a bit of a culture shock. When you're interviewing at these schools and trying to figure out where you want to go for dental school, you don't necessarily know the entire scope of what a city has to offer. You can do research on the internet, but it's literally a guessing game. And you try to go wherever you think you would be a better fit. I came to Milwaukee not realizing how segregated of a city it was. I came to Milwaukee realizing that there are a lot of Black people here that aren't doing well. And that's not something that I'm used to. I'm not used to seeing that. Because, like I said, I'm from Atlanta. Atlanta's being termed as Black Hollywood. Like, you know, I'm used to seeing Black people do well. And so when I got here, to see the amount of people that weren't doing well, to see the amount of people in the community of Marquette School of Dentistry that weren't doing well, the people that we were servicing, I knew that I wanted to pursue a leadership role at the school. And I knew that I wanted to do something that would be a positive impact on my classmates, as well as just the greater community, to help bring in more patients and hopefully help us service more people. And so when I became elected president, it was crazy because one of the ladies in student services, she came up to me and she was like, "I think you're the first Black person to ever get this position." And I was like, "Are you serious? Like, what do you mean? I can't be the first Black one. Like, there had to be one other."
Shocking, isn't it?
Right. It's very shocking. And so it just showed, you know, the dynamic of how things have really changed over time. And it showed me that my classmates, as well as the school, saying that it prided itself on diversity and inclusion and integration of students, it really showed that, okay, this is actually happening here at Marquette. These things are actually possible and obtainable for each and every student there. And so after I became the first Black president, next thing you know, the D1 students came in, she saw me, and there we have the first Egyptian president, you know, of a class. And it's just, it's crazy to see that dynamic change and to see how I'm being accepted into my role, and hopefully just to make a positive impact on the students at the school and on the administration and also on the greater community of Milwaukee. That's really just my main goal.
So what kind of pressure, if any, does being the first Black class president of the dental school puts on you?
It may not in reality put pressure on me, but internally, I feel a pressure because of the stigmas associated with Black women in power. You always see a Black woman in power, and if she's too assertive, and not even saying that she's rude or condescending, but if she's assertive in what she knows and if she's confident in how she carries herself, she can be seen as someone that's condescending, that's rude, that doesn't know how to talk to people, or, you know, the angry Black woman. Mm-hmm. So I never want to paint myself in that light. And I also never want to paint myself in this position so that way it messes things up for people down the road to where they say, "Oh, that's that angry Black woman. We don't need any more of those," you know?
Yeah.
And so there may not be any pressure from people who feel that way about me, but that's something that I've internalized because of how I've seen society shape itself. I'm from Georgia. We have the Ku Klux Klan. The Klansmen, they have protests down at City Hall. Like, that's a thing. I went to a predominantly Black schools all my life. So I know what it's like to be around Black people who aren't doing well. I know what it's like to be around Black people who are doing well. I know what it's like to see that power dynamic switch from having a white man in power to a Black man to a Black woman, and seeing all the stigmas associated with each power role. And so it's just something that I'm always being self-conscious about, which I probably shouldn't be, mm-hmm. but it's just the reality of things. It's something I'm being self-conscious about, to not paint myself to being too assertive. You know, sometimes I see myself being very kind or overly kind to an extent where it's just like, you didn't even have to do that. Like, what are you doing? You're going out of your way to be super kind just so I don't paint myself as an angry Black woman, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's the biggest pressure that I see myself internalizing in this position.
Mm. And I hate that we even have to do that, just because, like you were saying, how society treats Black women who have a little bit of power. Mm-hmm. You have to go out your way to prove, like, no, I'm not like that.
Exactly.
And it's just terrible.
Exactly.
Is there anything else maybe that someone from the outside looking in may not get to see as far as what it takes to be the first Black woman to do something? I mean, I know you said you're putting pressure on yourself, but, like, what else is there? A mental, physical, emotional toll? What aren't we seeing?
All the above. All the above, because dental school is a very stressful environment. I'm generally in class every day from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., and I may have a break sometimes because I don't have a patient or I'm not supposed to be in clinic that day, but I'm always doing something, and so I'm always on the go when it comes to handling my business with school. So on top of that, I get home probably about 5 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. I'm exhausted. I'm drained. And I'm literally to the point where I just want to go to bed. And I'm so tired sometimes that I don't even eat, but I have to force myself to eat something, like a piece of fruit or a celery stick or something. I have to eat something. And by the time that I take care of myself, now I have to look at my GroupMe messages and I have to see what's going on with my class. I have to see what issues are surrounding my class. I have to see how we can incorporate these new initiatives that we're trying to take on for the school so that way we can make the environment better for students and for patients, and as well as, like, the school in general, just changing the school for years to come. And so that's a lot of pressure, because after I sat down, I looked at the messages, I replied to all the emails, I still haven't studied for my classes, you know? So it's a lot of pressure in being the president. It's a lot of things that people don't see. Like, it's not just one job. It's like 1,000.
What do you want your legacy to be?
God, that's insane. Because that's something I've honestly been thinking about. What do I want my legacy to be? What do I want people to remember about Shante once she parts ways from Milwaukee? And honestly, I just want to be a stepping stone for someone else. Like, I'm the type of person, I like the accolades that come along with, you know, doing something well or being in a position that, you know, someone hasn't been in before. But I'm more so about being a stepping stone for other people. I want people to look at me and do better than me, you know, because my legacy would be one that's been influential to student success, student happiness, to the success of students to come. I just want people to remember me as the president that cared about her peers, who cared about the betterment of the school, who wanted to see Marquette University School of Dentistry succeed. I want this school to be known as the best dental school on planet Earth, you know, because I look at the impact that I've had already, like, on patients in the clinic, and it's crazy to see people say, oh my gosh, you do such a great job. And it's like, am I really doing a great job? Like, it's so hard to pat yourself on your own back, you know? Because I want to be as humble as possible, but I also want to offer people something that they always didn't have, you know? I want Milwaukee to be a better place when I leave. I want world peace.
So I guess my last question would be, it's 2020, and we still have the first Black fill in the blank for any Literally. Industry. What do you think about the fact that we still have those milestones? And not that they aren't important, because it's good to see that representation, but again, it's 2020.
It's 2020. But so you know, it's interesting because I've had this debate with my friends before. I told them, I was like, I was the first Black president. They're like, dang, like, seriously? Still? And I'm like, but let's think about where we've come from and how long ago was actual slavery? How long ago was actual segregation? Like, segregation didn't end until, what, the 1960s, you know? My great-grandmothers, they picked cotton. I'm from the South. Like, my mom's side is from Georgia. My dad's side is from Mississippi. They picked cotton on a plantation field for, you know, a white plantation owner. So is it surprising to me that I'm the first Black anything? No. Is it surprising to me that there are still first Black things that haven't been attained yet? No. Because we've come so far, but we still have so far to go. Like, racism, segregation, that stuff really didn't fade out until, what, the 70s, the 60s, the 70s. And we're talking about 50, 60 years ago. People are still living that are 50 and 60 years old. We haven't come too far from that. So it's great to see that these moments are being realized, but it also sparks the conversation of what else can we do? Because, yeah, we're going to put these people in these first Black positions. We're gonna make them the first of this moment. But what's next for us? What's next for Black people? Because at some point, the first positions, they're going to be gone. So now we need to uplift other Black people and put them in higher powers and, you know, make Black people in power so that way they can have positions where they can influence change. And I think that's the biggest thing that comes with the first, the second, the third. Because after the first, it's like you need to do your job so that way we can have the second that propels us even higher. And it's interesting because I actually went to Benjamin E. Mays High School in Atlanta, Georgia. And one of the quotes that we had on our walls, it was, and I'm paraphrasing this, but he said that every man and every woman was put on this earth to do something so great. And if he or she doesn't do it, then it will not be done. And that says a lot to being the first in any position. If I don't do it, when will it be done? Will it be done? We don't know. But since I've done it, This thing has happened. I've laid this foundation for someone else after me. And so now you build the house off of this. And the next person, after you build the house, you can build a complex. And let's just keep growing this moment and this experience to paint a better picture for Black people, for little Black girls and little Black boys, you know? Because it shows also that representation matters a lot. I've had little girls to come up to me and like, I want to be a dentist. You're so pretty. And I'm just like, oh, you're so pretty too. I literally had a little Black girl in clinic. She had her braids and her beads. And it was interesting to see that she didn't know that she could do that too. You know, just to talk to her and like just have a heart-to-heart conversation with her for all of 10 minutes. And her like, oh, I can be a dentist too. And I'm like, you can. You can do whatever you want to do. You just have to see that it's there for you. And that also plays back into me changing the dynamic of what's here in Milwaukee. Now at the dental school, when I got there, there weren't a lot of Black people in each class. Now each class, it progressively gets more. And so that just helps to lay that foundation and paint that picture that we're here. We can do this. You can do this. I'm painting the picture for little Black girls that you can do this. Little Black boys, you can do this too. And that we're going to propel this race to something that it hasn't been to yet, you know? And I think that's a big part of being the first president, being the first in any position. You have to realize that something has to come after you. and what will you leave behind that the next person can take over and positively change into something better?
That was Shantae Parker, the first Black woman to be class president at Marquette University's School of Dentistry. Parker spoke with WUWM race and ethnicity reporter Taryn Powell as part of our series Black Women First. You can hear the third installment of the series next Tuesday.